Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla, and I'm here with my co-host,
Noah.
Do you remember what our Star Wars names were generated at the very beginning of...
No, that was actually in the second episode with Jordan and Brooke.
Yes,
we did that.
All right, let me...
And they were bad.
Let me
generate some
names for us here. Your name is, for this episode, your Star Wars character, is Arwen Dawn Traveler. And you are a clone from Hod Abaddon.
So, Arwen Dawn Traveler, and I'm a clone from where?
Hod Abaddon?
Abaddon. Great place.
All right, I'll generate one for me. Let me refresh. How do I? My name is Arcturus. A-A-R-C-T-U-R-U-S. Arcturus Light Dasher.
Light Dasher's part of the name.
Uh-huh. The last name, yeah. Arcturus Light Dasher. And
okay.
I am a pilot from Alzok 3.
So Arwen and Arcturus going in to this final episode of the summer of Star Wars.
Wow, we should have done this every single episode.
Honestly, those are like the worst names of all time. Like,
Arwen.
Light Dasher is the only good thing in any of the four things. Dawn Traveler, like, that just sounds like the Narnia.
Yeah, I wonder
Dawn
what would
Treader.
Happen if I did a gendered name. Let's see.
Arwen Dawn Traveler just sounds like a Lord of the Rings character. I feel like they're just making up these places, like Hob Abaddon. Like they just like generated, just start with a consonant and go from there.
Yeah, I think our names are fine. They're all right. Well, I'll just call you Dawn Traveler, and you can call me Light Dasher.
Oh gosh,
Light Dasher.
So this is our finale. A great way to start the finale of
this
the
is our,
summer of Star Wars.
Yeah, our Star Wars finale of the series. It's basically also our almost summer finale. We have one more summer
episode.
We'll
have like a coda kind of thing.
Yeah, but this is like
summer, next week.
The culmination of our
summer journeys.
Our summer.
We've gone into the desert, into the stars. Through the swamps.
We've traveled through Tatooine and Andor.
Other,
is that a place?
Hob Abaddon.
From
Alzok
3.
I mean, it was a pretty... We started in May 1st. May 4th, actually. Sorry, because we did the first Tuesday of every month. This one, obviously, was a little different. But May 4th, and now all the way till now, watching... all 11 Star Wars movies and parts of the shows, kind of, you know, not obviously we can't watch everything. We have other things to do than watch Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot, you know, 11 movies. And
it was a lot. A lot
season
is
of TV
an understatement.
Yeah.
You know what is really exciting,
yeah.
though, is that that little blurb of news that released about Lego Star Wars... this week.
Yes, a great way to end this series.
Is that it does seem like it is along the horizon, the new Lego Star Wars.
I gotta say, it was a real full circle moment because I mean, at the start of May, obviously it had been delayed, but I would have said it was coming out, you know, still.
Uh-huh.
Then June, July, I was really thinking it was gonna get canceled because, like, it just hadn't been talked about. I think, like, a lot of the people at the studio were leaving, so I was like, so did they leave because it was done, or they leave because it just didn't work? But, you know, now we've got the confirmation. There will be a reveal of it in about a week. So, closer when this comes out.
I will buy it, I'll play it, and I will be
should
bad
we review
at it,
it,
but I will enjoy it.
I think we should
our
review
very
it. That should
first
be our
video
first
game.
Video game review.
I would.
Yes. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, I mean, going into this, like, obviously, as we've said, I wasn't the biggest Star Wars fan. I liked some of the movies, but I hadn't seen a lot in a while either. This was my first time rewatching some of them in a while. And I was hoping, I guess, going into this, that I would come out with a greater appreciation and love of Star Wars and just, you know, the movies and the history. And instead, I have come out with a very general exhaustion of Star Wars. And I don't know if that's because I watched all of them in about 5 months. So that's not like a very short time span. But I think I am very confident, at least now, in saying that Star Wars is in some of the things I enjoy, but overall, it's just not really my thing.
Yeah.
Which before it was like, I was saying that, but I wasn't 100% sure. But now I'm like, I'm sure.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I think for me, Star Wars was a big part of my childhood. Just in different, you know, whether it was Lego toys or watching the prequels or even the original trilogy, and then playing, you know, Battlefront and Lego Star Wars repeatedly, you know, so I appreciate Star Wars. I think rewatching them was just a lot in general because they're so long and they're kind of all the same. So you're just rewatching the same thing over and over and over again with maybe different characters here and there. So it's not that it wasn't enjoyable, but it also almost felt like a chore sometimes when I had to, like, push through some of the content.
A lot of them are very long. And I mean, not like, it's not like a Lord of the Rings extended edition long, but they are long. Uh-huh. And I mean, we'll get into more of this, but I think generally the Star Wars movies are a lot more about just the overall, like, maybe even thematic, like, ideas that arch throughout the series, but also just like the general idea of world building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of science fiction is about, and that's really not what I like in really any kind of media. Like, I like world building when it is in benefit to, like, the narrative and the me loving the characters and just that stuff, like the stuff I like, basically. But in this, I think with Star Wars, the big thing is just loving world building for the sake of just world building and being able to escape to another place. And that's just not really what I find interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, do you want to get into the rest of the episode, which will be a mixture of revealing our final rankings of the 11 movies? And also, now that we're Star Wars experts, we have sparsed in 3 trivia questions that we will each be getting to see who is the true Jedi Master, you might say. Yeah, that's what we'll be doing. And I think it'll be fun, you know? I mean, my rankings, I don't think are going to be as controversial as yours, but they definitely won't be the norm. Because they're, as we've seen through the last 4 episodes, we have some differing opinions from the general Star Wars fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of apprehensions about this episode, because not that we have, like, diehard Star Wars fans that listen to our podcast.
Well, a couple, maybe.
But Star Wars fans are ruthless, and I have a very, very controversial ranking. And I am a little bit scared. I'm a little bit stressed, but well,
that was just a really great way to lead into this episode, you know. So Arwen and Arcturus are gonna go in here with our first trivia question.
All right.
This is courtesy of the great people at LaughGaff, home of fun and laughter. This is called, what is this? 88 fun Star Wars trivia questions.
Great.
And what we're going to do, we're just going to randomly scroll for each other down and pick a random one, because I couldn't find anything that would randomly generate things. So this will have to do.
All right.
So do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I'll ask you first.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, I'm just kind of scrolling back and forth, and then I'm going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Ooh, this is a harder one. Actually, name two of the starfighters that the rebels use in the battle at the second Death Star.
Okay, so the second Death Star is in Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. That's really the farthest I'm getting. This is two of the Star Destroyers that the rebels are using?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go on a whim here. X-Factor and Extreme.
No. It's more broad than that.
Oh, man. Bummer.
Do you want to...
You really should have gone with this.
Do you want a second try?
No, I have zero clue.
Okay. It's either A-Wings, B-Wings,
oh, okay.
X-Wings, or Y-Wings.
Damn. Well... You know,
I don't think I would have gotten that, honestly.
I think my names were actually better. But okay. So let me see. I'll go with you now. And I'll gonna scroll. And I'm gonna land on this one. All right. This is definitely not as hard as mine, but it's still a little tricky. I don't know if I know. So the question is, what part of the Millennium Falcon is malfunctioning throughout the Empire Strikes Back movie, keeping them from escaping the Empire?
Oh, geez, I don't know. What part of the Millennium Falcon?
Yes, so it's malfunctioning in number 5, and that's keeping them from escaping the Empire.
The light speed function thing? what makes the light speed go?
I believe this is what makes the light speed go. I'm not sure. It's the hyperdrive.
Oh shoot. Well, I wouldn't have gotten that.
Okay. Well, what's funny is I did actually remember that once I saw the answer, because I think I was thinking like right in the beginning of the movie, because I remember like Han's working on something, but that's actually just like the entire plot of the B plot is them escaping and the hyper. I just forgot which the part was. So
hyper,
you know.
Hyper speed. Is that hyper what? Speed. Light speed jump.
Light speed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well.
Jump.
We're both. 0-0. Great.
0-0. All right. Well, even playing field. And that brings us to our first set of rankings, which will be from number 11 to number 7. We don't have, like, a ton of time. We don't want this to be, like, a 5-hour podcast. And we also already talked about all 11 of these movies.
Great.
All summer. So we don't have to give, like, our huge spiel about them. But we can just go maybe back and forth, you know? And
sure.
Give our say.
Sure.
All right. So my number 11 these will definitely be, I think, the bottom three will be probably the least controversial.
Mm-hmm.
My number 11 is The Rise of Skywalker. Mostly, you know, I mean, I think that there is an argument that parts of episode 1 and 2 are worse than The Rise of Skywalker. But it's one of those things similar to like a Justice League or the 2016 Suicide Squad, where just the complete lack of like human quality in the movie just really is just terrible. Like at least 1 and 2... in the prequels have a sense of like artistic integrity to them. Like you can tell George Lucas was like into it, and even if that didn't work, you know, he was excited about them. And with the Rise of Skywalker, as like for me the biggest problem is it just feels like it wasn't really made by a person, and it was just like made to satisfy everyone, and in doing that, it satisfied no one. And yeah, that's my number 11 is The Rise of Skywalker, because it's really the only Star Wars movie that truly feels lifeless to me.
Cool. Yeah. My number 11 is surprisingly not The Rise of Skywalker, even though I viscerally hate that movie. It is Rogue One.
Oh, wow. 11?
It's just, like, I can't even remember what happened in it. Like, since I watched it again, like, when I was my rankings, I did have it a little bit higher. But since I watched it from, like, literally a month ago, I cannot remember anything that happened in it. So I was like, you know what? I think that has to put it at 11. Because even if I don't like Rise of Skywalker, at least I remember aspects of the movie.
That's very true. You know, there are things to remember in Rise of Skywalker. Are they good? Who's to say?
Yeah.
But yeah, there. I think that's a good point. All right. So those are our number 11s. Now we will go to number 10, which I know this won't be the case for you, because I know you like this movie more. But for me, it's Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, just because this is just like one of the most boring movies of all time, in my opinion. Like, we talked about Phantom Menace probably maybe the most out of all the prequels. There are obviously like parts of it that are good, which is why it's not number 11, but it's just so boring. And there's like, so it gets bogged down in so many like unnecessary details that just drag down the movie, and it doesn't really know what it wants to be. Like, is this a kid's movie? Or is this like a political drama? Or is this a John Williams just like listen to music and watch some visuals movie? I don't know. So yeah, that's why it's number 10 for me, because it definitely, like I said, has a little bit more life to it and also emotional attachment, because I watched it when I was younger. But yeah, the pod race scene is really the only thing I will return to from this movie.
So my number 10... my number 9 and my number 10 are basically on the same level for me. It's just that, like, I had to put one in 10 and one in 9, and that is kind of just how it went. So my number 10 is The Rise of Skywalker. But again, even, like, with Rogue One, I feel like 9 through 11 are really just, like, flatlined, plateaued, like,
right.
Along
for
the
different
same.
Reasons, though. I feel like, because at least that feels like a different reason for them, Rogue One and Rise of Skywalker for you.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you all know everything that I hate about Rise of Skywalker. And in our other episode, I talked about the few things that I do like, some of the lightsaber duels, the scene with Ben and Han, and then the kind of, like, Rey and Ben mind, the way they did the mind stuff. That's pretty much
right.
It.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and just do my 9 really quick, because they're basically the same. And my 9 is Solo, which I also just is very low rated, low ranked, because there's just a lot of things I don't like about it or think are fan servicey, are silly. But then there's some scenes that I do think are semi-interesting, or characters, like, I think Donald Glover does a really good job, and he's cool. So, gotta take what you can get,
I guess. He is cool, you know? I have no doubt about it. Alright, so yeah, my number 9 is Rogue One. Mostly because, like, I mean, this and 8 are this low for very different reasons. Rogue One is, like, well, maybe even similar reasons, because, like, Rogue One, there's so much potential, I feel like, for it to be a really great movie, for it to have a lot of interesting things to say, and also just to be a really cool chapter in, like, the Star Wars canon. And it's weird, because it feels like all those things are there, but it just doesn't click ever, and it's just very slow, boring. It's an ensemble movie, and I mean, there's actors in the ensemble I like, but none of the actors stand out at all. It's very dull. Even just, like, looking at it, it's just, like, dreary and cold. And, like, it's an action war movie, and both times I watched it, this is what I know, because sometimes if you watch one time and you're like, yeah, I wasn't really feeling this, it kind of was boring, felt like it dragged. Sometimes that can be different if you watch it a second time, but for me, both times I was just bored out of my mind. Like, just so boring.
Yeah.
And even though there are some cool sequences, and I said, I think, like, the beginning setup is good, and, like, you feel like, oh, maybe this is better than I thought, but then, like, second, third act comes around, and it just, like, drops the ball completely. And, yeah. Probably will never watch this movie again. Whereas with Phantom Menace, you know, maybe I will. So maybe, like, 8, 9, 10, you know, are kind of a mashup, but for me, at least Rogue One, at least, like, feels a little more coherent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll get into 8-2, which is Attack of the Clones. This one is a little bit above Rogue One, similarly kind of like why Episode 1 is above Rise of Skywalker, because I feel like it has a little more artistic, it has more things going on that I think are really interesting, like, if you look at them in the right light. So a lot of, again, the things it's trying to say, even some of, different from Episode 1, I think a lot of the visuals in Episode 2 actually are very interesting and could have been, like, a really cool, I don't know, like a space opera kind of thing. But, like, the writing and obviously and just the acting and directing are just so bad. So that's really what does it with that one. But it is interesting because I feel like one thing that separates this one from Episode 1 is I don't really know how people can look at Episode 1 and, like, say it's a good movie. But I can see how people can look at Episode 2 and make the argument that it's, like, one of those where, like, it really is like a masterpiece if you put the pieces together. Like, I don't think it is, but I think it is one of those movies where I can understand why people would make like a video essay in 20 years saying like, this is actually a masterpiece that no one understood at its time. And this is why. And I would watch the video and be like, maybe, you know, but no. Yeah. So that's my number 8 is Attack of the Clones.
Okay. First hot take of the day. I'm a little scared to say this out loud.
New hope.
My number 8 is Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Episode 3.
That's not that hot of a take.
It is, because everyone always says that's the best prequel. And so I feel like it's...
But saying it's the worst is, yeah, that is a hot take.
Yeah, I just don't enjoy this movie. I mean, that's really what it falls down to, is compared to my level of sitting down and being invested in it and enjoying it and having a good time. This movie is not it for me. Does that mean that there are not amazing scenes like the lightsaber battle? Like, it's fire.
Oh, the Yoda one?
Yeah.
The lava one.
Yeah, the lava one. Like, yeah, it is so cool. Great. Yeah. Love it. Definitely doesn't mean I don't enjoy this movie. It just is lower for me on the ranking.
Gotcha. Interesting. Well, yeah, that is, I would say having it that low isn't a hot take, but saying it's the best it's the worst prequel is.
Yes.
I would say. So it's like, it is and it isn't. Interesting. Okay, so number 7 for me is another one that you talked about. It's Solo. This one, it could be lower. There is just an aspect of it that I do enjoy when, like, a pulpy Western thing is done at least sort of well. Like, and that's another thing with this, it could have been so much better. And I think, like we said in our episode, this would have been even better as a miniseries. Or even just a series in itself, because when it leans into those Western, like, inspirations in some of the scenes, it is very good. And I think the character dynamics are interesting and when they are actually interacting, but that's the issue. It's like a movie, so you don't really get enough time for that to happen. And yeah, the biggest issues for this movie really, again, are just like, I mean, we already talked about all the fan service aspects that are just very poorly introduced. And really just the fact that it's a movie. Like, this is a serial Western style, and that doesn't work in a 2-hour movie, because you can't do all the cool things. You can only do the things that you like in a serial Western for about 50 minutes, because you have to set up everything else before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, this just ends up being a movie that's just very meh. Like, there are things about it that I think like, oh, that was fun. That was a cool time. But also it's just very forgettable, and there's nothing like truly interesting about it that I can look back on and want to like rewatch and think about a lot and stuff. Yeah, so number 7 for me is Solo.
My number 7 is Star Wars.
New Hope.
Yes, right. A New Hope.
Yes. More like a new...
Nope.
Nope. Yeah.
I just think this movie's kind of boring. Like, I really respect, you know, obviously what it did at the time and how much it's expanded movies and, you know, fantasy and all that, like, you know, following it. I just think that it's in the middle tier. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is it's just a middle tier movie. It's not, to me, like, amazing, but it's also not a bad movie. Mm-hmm. I will probably watch it again at some point in my life, but it's not going to be the first movie that I jump to rewatch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it gave us the characters that we know and love. It gave us a universe that
we kind
we
of love.
We know and maybe love parts of.
Well, we obviously don't know what Hadabadon and Alzok 3 is. So. I know parts of the universe.
We're not true fans.
Yeah, sorry,
no,
guys.
So this is, like, for me, yeah, like, I don't hate this movie. It's just, like, I mean, it's like a 3-star movie. Like, it's just in the middle.
Yeah, I think I gave it 3 as well.
It's
yeah.
in the middle ground for me, you know?
Maybe 3.5. I don't know what I gave it, yeah. Yeah, I totally get that.
Iconic, but not
good.
Not, wait. I was gonna say it's, like, iconic, but not, like, not me.
Not
my-
iconic.
Yeah, like,
no, it's iconic, but not my tonic.
Wow. The new hope is a new nope. Not as iconic, but not my tonic. That's good.
That's truly something. All right, so that's our 11 through 7. Let's get into our second trivia question now. See if we can up our stats here from
0 to 0.
It'd be really funny if we just get everyone wrong.
I mean, honestly, unless it's like a very, very easy question, even if it's just like a middle ground question, I'm not going to get it. Okay.
All right, laugh gaff. Let's see what you
got
for us.
I got one for you here. What is the senator's name who adopts Leia Skywalker, and what planet is he from? I would never get this in a million years, because these are the kind of things I don't know.
All right. It is... I'm trying to think of a joke, because I have no idea what it is. So I'm trying to think of something funny. I literally have no idea. It is E.T., and the planet is E.T.'s planet. I literally have no idea. I might have, like, had an idea at the name, like, when you said the planet, I was just done. I have no idea.
It's
Habdo Abaddon?
It's Senator Bail Organa from Alderaan.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that. I know that, Jordan is probably listening to this right now, like,
and was like, it's Bail Organa from
screaming at us. Yikes.
All right, I'm scrolling. Interesting. All right. What makes Han Solo temporarily blind after he is freed from the carbonite?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
I don't even know if this is in the movie. Like, I don't know.
The... coming back to life, being unfrozen,
I mean,
seeing light again after being rock. I don't know. I like the carbonite. Yeah,
it says hibernation sickness.
Okay. Great.
Does it ever say that in the movie?
I don't know.
I feel like we might want to do another one, because that seems like not a question. I'm going to give you another one.
Okay, I'm sure it'll be the same result. So,
well, don't say that. Who directed The Force Awakens?
Oh my gosh, who did it? Rian Johnson, J.J. Abrams.
Correct. All right, so it's 0-0-0-0-1, 1-0.
Well, that's 1-0. An easy one. How come they have those easy ones in with, like? What was it? Hibernation freezing?
Hibernation sickness. Oh my gosh. Who knows?
All right.
But let's get into 6 through 4.
Wow. All right. But this is the nitty gritty. This is where it comes down to, like, actually making decisions here.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like for me, the lower tiers were the hardest, because I am pretty set at which ones I like and which ones I don't.
Mm-hmm.
What's harder is that there's just more that I don't like, and so it's just figuring out like which ones I maybe
which
like
ones
a little
you
bit
like
more.
The worst, and which ones do you like
the best?
Yeah. I'll go with my number six, which is episode 2, Attack of the Clones. One reason why I think this is so high, and also obviously you know by now that Phantom Menace will be higher as well, is like just purely nostalgia. Like I was raised on Attack of the Clones and the Phantom Menace. Like, yes, we watched the originals, but these were like the ones we watched over and over and over was the prequels. And I have like the whole opening sequence of Attack of the Clones just like ingrained in my brain for some reason. Like, that movie just is there, imprinted on the, whatever you call it, of my brain. Brain nodules.
The memory section.
Yeah, it's in there, which is funny, because I have a bad memory, too. Yeah, obviously, there, when you watch this movie with, like, a group of friends.
It's very funny. All,
like, it is a good time, you know, because you're just sitting there, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just said that. What? Like, that line is
so. And there's
so
many memes
stupid.
Now that you can point out, too, which is fun.
But I do enjoy watching this movie, which is why it's higher. I do recognize that there are a lot of flaws in it, and there are aspects of it that aren't as good compared to other Star Wars movies. But in personal enjoyment and in feels for the movie, it is my number six.
That's not. That makes sense. So mine, number six, is Return of the Jedi. There are a lot of things that are just obviously good about this movie. I think the final third is probably the best part when it just, like, stays in one place. That brings me to the main issue where just, like, the pacing is just so weird. The beginning with, like, the 40, whatever, it's so long at getting Han Solo. And then, like, they jump right into getting the Death Star, and then Luke leaves. It's just, it feels very off when you watch it, which is weird because, like, all you really remember from this movie, at least for me, is, like, Wookiees and, like, the throne room scene. And once you get to, like, that kind of stuff, I think it definitely gets a little more enjoyable. There's obviously the more iconic scenes that you can look forward to and that, the lines. But there's just a lot in this movie that you kind of forget, I think, when, at least I forgot before I rewatched it, where just like the stuff in between that, and it's just like a slog and it just isn't as memorable. And I don't think it's like a controversial opinion to say this is the worst of the three movies. Like, I think this one, I have very similar feelings about this one and number four, but just for different reasons. And this one is just like, it just doesn't, there's just too much stuff in between the good stuff there to make me like it more than this. So that's my number six, is Return of the Jedi.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. My number five is The Phantom Menace, which I feel like is very controversial because it's so high. Again, it falls on a lot of nostalgia. A lot of childhood memories is, I think, why I pit it above other things. I mean, we've got pod racing, which automatically elevates it because that is just so exciting. I think that a lot of the scenes in this to me are more memorable, probably because I watched it more times as a child. But I like the different fights. I like, but it's interesting more when he gets cut in half by a lightsaber, because you're like, oh my gosh, lightsabers can cut people in half. Like, as a kid, you're like, whoa, that's so scary and cool and crazy.
That's true. Yeah.
That's
like the first time that did that.
Yeah. So I think that this one, just for me as a kid, really established a lot for me in Star Wars. Obviously, looking back on it and watching it as an adult, there's some more problematic areas, some plot points that maybe just don't work. It is a little bit, like, there's some dicier story parts that it's like, what are we really trying to say here? But I think overall, just with, like, the set pieces and stuff, it's still one that I enjoy watching and revisiting.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like, it's hard because, like, I really don't enjoy it at all. But there are things where it's like, I did watch it a lot as a kid. And I think the pod racing scene is undeniably, like, one of the best things in Star Wars, so. I mean, it's, like, hard because maybe on a good day it might be, like, 8 or 7, but Yeah, it is an interesting movie.
Yeah, which sure. I feel like a lot of these movies just comes down to matter of personal opinion. Like, yeah, that's what makes Star Wars so hard, is it's like people like different things, and then it's like,
and all the Star Wars movies are so different.
This is the superior Star Wars. So,
oh yeah. Speaking of superior Star Wars, we are now in our top five, so it's really getting down to it here.
Yeah. Wow.
My number five is Star Wars: A New Hope. This one, I've never like understood why this one is so loved. I mean, I think it definitely did a lot for the movie industry, which is cool, which I think is really the thing I enjoy most while watching it, is just that aspect, which sucks now because like with the digital recreation stuff, it's hard to find like the actual movie that was made in 1977. And it's interesting because like looking, if you look at this and think like if this didn't get famous and it was just a movie from 1977 that I randomly watched, I think I actually might like it less just because it really isn't like, I mean, structurally, I guess, but like the writing and acting just isn't that good in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think really the thing that makes it stand apart is, again, that it was made in 1977 and it was like story-wise just kind of groundbreaking to have all that cool stuff. But now when you watch it in 2021, it's like, it's not exciting anymore to see like a new planet, and so instead you're just kind of, it's harder to, for me, because I don't have like much nostalgia attached to it, to look past like Luke's dialogue or just some of the bad boring aspects. But there are obviously stuff I like. I think like the trench fight is really cool. There's a lot of just iconic scenes, and even the cinematography I think has aged pretty well.
Yeah, I would
especially
agree.
Especially for a lower budget movie. It looks really cool. And yeah, it's my number five. And so it's not one I obviously like really dislike, but it's definitely not in that top caliber of Star Wars movie that we're about to kind of get into for us anyway. So I just did number five. So now you have your number four here.
I do. I am excited to talk about this one. Okay. It's my number four for certain reasons. This is Return of the Jedi. And there's a lot of reasons why this movie is great. Namely would be Luke Skywalker wearing all black would be the number one reason. number two would be the cloaks that they wear in Endor, the like forest camouflagey cloaks. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Is it all just fashion reasons why this
one
is number four?
No, those are the two main reasons though. The Ewoks would be another good reason, because I think that they're very fun in this, because they're kind of just like rootin' tootin' little cowboy dudes, and they're just like, and then, you know, knock stormtroopers off their bikes and stuff.
They do that.
So
yeah,
I think that is really fun. The thing I like about this movie is, like, with stuff, you know, kind of with the fourth, fifth, and whatever, is Empire Strikes Back is a little more, like, serious. I feel like it has a lot more, like, serious tonal elements to it. And I feel like this one gets a good balance between the kind of, like, cheesiness of A New Hope and kind of the semi like serious elements from Empire Strikes Back, and sort of makes it a fun watch rather than like being so invested in them, like you know what I mean. Like it feels serious,
but I
think there's also, it's a lot more fun to sit down and watch and enjoy kind of the characters and enjoy their chemistry with each other and them just kind of being them. So I would say that's why I like it. But mostly it's because of Luke Skywalker's black outfit. Like, you just can't rank that lower than a four. And it's, like, the number one best outfit in the whole thing. Like, you have that, and then maybe second would be Finn's jacket in the later ones.
What about Lando? Lando has some great outfits.
Oh, and Lando's capes. Oh my god, yes. He has good capes.
Alright, so now I'll get to my number four, which this is my hot take. Not the movie per se, but more like this is the first time, like, this on is really the only movies that I would say that, like, I enjoy.
Interesting.
Like the other ones I'll watch and I'll appreciate, and obviously, like, I enjoy them, like, that's how rankings work. I enjoy the 5, 6, 7, whatever, more than the lower ones. But from 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, that my top four are really the only ones I would say, like, this is, like, one of my favorite Star Wars movies. And I would, like, say that, like, I really like this movie. The other ones I would say, there are stuff I like, but they're just not as much my thing. So my number four is Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. This one I think could have been higher if, like, obviously the third act is good in some parts with, like, obviously the great fight scene that we said. I think the biggest issue with the third act is it kind of doesn't fit with the other two acts, in that the first two acts are very dramatic and building up, like, this kind of, like, religious allegory of, like, disillusion with, like, government and religion and stuff. And then the third act is, like, now we're back to Star Wars, and the Jedi are the good guys, and the Sith are the bad guys. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, where it does feel sometimes very similar how I feel with The Last Jedi, where, like, I'm watching it in the first two acts, and I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of, like, something I wouldn't expect from a Star Wars movie. And I think this movie would actually be similar to Last Jedi in like, the fans being a little more annoyed by it if the third act was in line with the first two and more, like, tonally in line, I guess, and not just revert back to a Star Wars movie, which, again, there's the fight scenes are great and there are fun aspects, but it doesn't fit with me at all with what the movie was before. So that's the only reason it's not higher, but I do really like this movie. It's obviously my favorite prequel, and I think it looks really good too. Like, it's one of my favorite Star Wars, probably my second favorite in terms of just how the movie looks. I think it looks really visually interesting. Both just, like, it looks cool, and also I think visually there are aspects that are, like, visual storytelling aspects. So yeah, my number four is Revenge of the Sith.
Wow. Very nice.
Wow. Well, I think we should take a quick ad break, and then when we come back, we will do our final trivia question.
Oh my gosh, and wow.
Our top three rankings.
And we're here on this game.
Traveler.
Well, you're on this game show. And I'm Arcturus Light Dasher, and I'm here with Arwen Dawn Traveler. And today we've got some more trivia questions for you.
Yeah, I think you should be the new Jeopardy host.
Yeah, I should be.
That would be good. Yeah, I'm here. I'm ready to bounce back from my first two questions,
right,
which were both wrong. And
all get right, this one I'm in the doing bag. Some scrolling. All right, say stop on when you're ready, and I'll stop.
All right, stop.
Okay, that's a question we've already had.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to do it again.
There are 84 to choose from.
88.
We had to choose one of them.
Oh, we've done 80.
Well, 83 because one of them was the hibernation sleep.
All right. All right. Say stop again.
Stop.
Okay. You've got this. This is an easy one. What color is Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber in Episode 2, Attack of the Clones?
It is... I'm going to just make sure I get this right. Blue.
It is.
All right, good. I was pretty sure. I wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be green. But yeah, it's blue. All right.
Congratulations. Perfect. Ding, ding, ding,
I got
ding,
it.
Ding.
All right, so here's how it's going to go. If you get this, you are crowned the Star Wars Trivia Champion. If you do not, we have to do a tiebreaker after our top three rankings.
Oh, no.
So you could end it all here.
The pressure is on. Whenever you say
stop, I will stop. Are you going to say stop?
Oh, sorry. Stop. Okay. I zoned out.
All right. Dear Lord. What does Padme name her children at the end of Revenge of the Sith right before she dies?
Let's see. I'm going to go with... Rey and Palpatine.
And Skywalker.
Luke and Leia?
Yes. That might be like a trick question for someone that doesn't know who Padme is.
It's so funny because, like, there are some really, really hard questions in here. Like, for example, this question, who has Shmi Skywalker married in Attack of the Clones? Do you know that? Who is Shmi Skywalker?
Is he in Peter Pan as Captain Hook's right-hand man?
And the answer is Kleeg Lars. Like, I would never get that in a million years.
Let's see, like, what is the red substance found on the planet Krait? Oh, actually, this might be doable.
Kryptonite?
Salt. Salt. Because remember, in Last Jedi, they're like, it's salt.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's the actor who plays Finn is a question. So Laugh Gaff really isn't very consistent with the difficulty of the questions, but, you know, that's what makes it fun. So you are the crowning Star Wars trivia champion. So
wow.
you can go into any bar that only has Star Wars trivia going.
But only because of your generosity to give me a new question about the hibernation one.
I think the hibernation one was just, like, not in the movie, so I don't think that's fair because we didn't study for this besides the movies. All right, so we're on our top three.
Wow.
Our bronze, silver, and gold.
Amazing.
The Olympics are back. I'll do my number three here. I mean, what's funny is we have the same movies in our top three.
Will they be ranked the same?
It just depends on the ranking.
I guess we're about to find out.
My number three is The Force Awakens.
That is also my number three.
Wow, I think that means we probably will have all the same top three.
We'll see.
So Force Awakens. What's funny is I thought I was going to like this more, even though it is in my top three. I've watched this two times before, but I hadn't seen it for a couple of years, and I think it is still really good, and kind of like A New Hope, but better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Because obviously everyone knows it's basically A New Hope, but like it feels like A New Hope made with like more years of retrospective like knowledge of acting and dialogue and stuff. I don't know. It's just more interesting, and also obviously special effects are exciting and big and huge. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a fun spectacle. My viewing of it, like opening night, has a big play in that just because that was so exciting. And I just think it's fun, you know? The acting performances are good, even more than like Last Jedi, even because they're not really together in that movie. I really like all the dynamics going on in the movie that are just really fun. It's just like a classic like adventure movie.
Mm-hmm.
But with more like in 2017 with like Adam Driver and just like a lot of cool, fun special effects and John Williams music. And yeah, it's just like a fun popcorn movie for me. Really good.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this movie is very fun. It is disappointing that like I feel like this movie has a lot of life in it. And like for some reason when he made Rise of the Skywalker, just like the life was gone.
It just like left everything. Because
I feel like this gave such a good start to like a new era of Star Wars.
It really
did.
In
a way that was familiar, but also like very new and exciting. And I think that's one reason why it's so high is like because it did really feel fun and interesting. Mm. And like it was going to be this new turning point. For the franchise, and in a way it kind of was, and then it ended up all going downhill. But I think it was a really exciting way to introduce new characters, and like, you know, a lot of the stuff I like about The Last Jedi is that, you know, we have these characters, and you know, the credit goes to this movie for giving us who we get to see in The Last Jedi and establishing mm-hmm. their roles in the universe. And I think that that is exciting. I just think it's a fun movie. Like, it's just an enjoyable, good time.
It really is. Like, even watching it now, like, you can feel the excitement of, like, wow, Star Wars is going to
be
great.
Like, you still
Star
really enjoy
back.
It watching yeah. it, like, you know, now.
Feels very hopeful.
It does.
And then
your hopes and your dreams are crushed by J.J. Abrams.
It was a new hope. They were raised by J.J. Abrams, and then they were destroyed by J.J. Abrams. So really,
yeah.
it was a full circle moment.
Bummer.
I think I said 2017 that came out. That was 2015. So that's a little correction. On to my numero dos to me, who is Arwen Dawn Traveler, has picked Empire Strikes Back for my second pick.
Me too!
Wow. Truly,
we have the same top three.
You know, it's all squabbling down below, but once you get to those top three, it's really just all about the connection.
Yeah, I mean, like, it doesn't surprise me that much. I think it might surprise other people that this would be our, like, top three.
Both of our top three, yeah.
Both of our top three. But it doesn't, it surprises me, but it doesn't surprise me at the same time.
Right.
That we have
the top two don't. I am surprised that Force Awakens is number three for both of us. That would be the biggest surprise for me.
Yeah.
The top two don't surprise me. But Empire Strikes Back, you know, it's a great movie. What else is there to say? It's wild how, like, well this movie has aged, especially, like, having just watched, like, when rewatching it, you just watch A New Hope before this, and it's mm-hmm. like, that movie obviously, like I said, has a lot of things that have influenced the movie's culture and movies going forward, but it's obviously a movie from the 70s, and it's just, like, there's a lot of stuff that hasn't aged well and stuff that mm-hmm. doesn't look good, and, I mean, especially now that they've put in, like, crappy effects in that haven't been touched since 2000. But with Empire Strikes Back, like, even just, like, the tone and the acting and the dialogue, like, everything has aged very well. Even the lightsaber fights, we talked about this, how the lightsaber fights are so lame in New Hope. Like, I know the technology wasn't good, but then just don't do lightsaber fights, guys. I don't know what to say. But the Empire Strikes Back, like, they're just good enough that they're engaging. Especially because the one with Luke and Darth Vader is so emotionally charged. And I really do like just, like, the overall tone of this thing and how it's a little bit more serious than the previous one. It really feels like an epic movie in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting, too, how I was able to balance the two. Like, you could call it the A and the B plot, but they really do feel like two simultaneous plots running at the same time.
They're both exciting enough that, like, both can keep you hooked. Like, it just feels mm-hmm. like one and two, not like A and B. Like,
right, exactly.
They're prominent.
Yeah, and it's just a great movie. So that's my number two, is Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I pretty much have all the same feelings. This movie is just iconic. No, it's a really good movie. The characters
and,
like,
your tonic.
And my tonic. Wow. no, the characters just, like, are more established at this point. Obviously, I feel like they're more in themselves and have a clear, like, they know what they're trying to do and accomplish, and figuring themselves out and then figuring out their relationships mm-hmm. with each other throughout it. You know, you've got love stories, you've got tension,
romance,
you've got
drama,
like, you have everything you need, the perfect formula for the perfect movie.
The perfect recipe.
Yeah, not that this movie is perfect, a very good movie. Mm. For me, this is a 4-star movie, which is basically, like, really good.
Yeah.
I
very solid.
Am very sparse Strong. With my 4.5 and 5 stars. I think this would probably be higher for me if I really loved Star Wars, like some people do. I just don't have that, like, final push, you know?
Get to the top.
And I think it's harder when you watch this as someone, like, you already know the reveals, you know?
Yeah,
and
that's
true. So I think for us,
and it's hard to have the reveals not spoiled at this point, because it's just like everyone knows.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, it is a very good movie though, and I think even when you know those things, it's still good, you know?
Definitely. It's a great movie. What's funny is I actually don't have any 4-star movies on this ranking, because Force Awakens is a 3.5 and Empire Strikes Back is a 4.5. So I just skipped that 4-star tier.
Force Awakens and Empire Strikes Back are 4-star movies for me.
For me, like, Force Awakens is just a little too far away from 4-star, and Empire is, like, just a little too over 4-star. So they're pretty close there for me. Like, just that very solid, like, doesn't have the thing to get it to that really, like, favorite top, but just, like, they're both, especially Empire, just, like, really just solid experiences and watches.
Yeah.
And that brings us to just the cream of the crop.
The greatest Star Wars movie of all time.
The greatest. No one has said any different. It is just the unanimous choice
of
that
best
everyone will have.
Star Wars movie ever. And that is, of course, Rian Johnson's masterpiece, second to Knives Out. The Last Jedi.
What would you call the second to Knives? Like, the second to masterpiece would be, like, his masterpiece. That'd be the last great movie they made.
Yeah, but it's called The Last Jedi. So.
Wow. Okay, the masterpiece. All right. That's okay. That works. Perfect.
Yeah. Cool. This is a 4.5-star movie for me.
Same. Yep.
I love this movie. Obviously,
so
we gushed about it in our episode with Houston.
We did. We really did.
All three of us did. Just nonstop gushing. What else is there to say about how great this movie is? No. Nothing.
There's a Jedi, and it was the last Jedi that there was.
Yeah, and, you know, we take some of the best characters from Star Wars, and we bring them into the new universe, and we establish them with all these great characters that J.J. Abrams handed to us in a silver platter, and Rian Johnson turned it into a 4-course meal. Like, that's what
I was
going to
say,
like,
something about meal. Wow, yeah.
Is that,
it's
like...
Really great.
J.J. Abrams teased us with the appetizer, and then Rian Johnson was like, let me give you the 5-star dinner platter. And then J.J. Abrams was like,
He gave us a fortune cookie.
He was like,
that's what
I'll
he gave
top
us.
It all with the fortune cookie.
Yeah. Here, it's good enough. That's a great analogy.
And as I'm
really
sitting
good.
Here
yeah.
looking at the poster right now, it makes me excited because this poster is cool, for one. But two, like, it's all red. And then we have, like, Rey's blue lightsaber. And it's like, oh my gosh, she's the spark that will change all the darkness and the red
the
in the universe.
Spark that will light the
and
flame
then it's also
that
like,
will burn for the rebellion.
Lightly on Luke's face. And Luke is like, he's half in the dark and half
blue,
in the light
in the red,
and then it's lightly on Leia's face, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be so good. There's this whole battle of dark and light in it, and like, what makes you a good person and what makes you a leader for the galaxy, which we see in Luke's obvious conundrum in his character growth and arc, but really this whole movie is about, like, are you really good even if you're good? Like, are you really the good guy? Are you really bad, even if you're bad? Like, what even is goodness? What is hope? What is the meaning of life in the Star Wars universe? And this encapsulates all of that. Wow.
Yeah, it is a great movie. I agree with all of that. This is the only poster that's allowed to do, like, the Marvel stacked kind of format.
The only
one.
Because
it actually uses it in a way that works, like, thematically.
Yeah, I agree. Wow.
Yeah, great movie. What's funny is, like, this has been my number one even before we did this, just for a while. And I feel like now that isn't as much of a controversial opinion, but it definitely was, like, even in, like, 2018, like, even when people were liking this movie, I feel like it wasn't to that extent, but there is a lot of people I've seen now that just have this in their top three or just as their number one. I mean, obviously there's people that have it as their number 11. But I do think, like,
most people are wrong.
I just think, like, people have just gotten less afraid. You know, we're not afraid to stand for the things we love.
No, we're not. And that is why I was able to admit that The Phantom Menace is my number 5 out of 11 in my Star Wars ranking. Is like, I understand people don't like this movie, and that's fine, but I like it. And that's all that matters, right? And, you know, The Last Jedi is objectively the best Star Wars movie, but subjectively, you know, I understand that some people don't like this movie, and you're wrong, and that's fine.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. Please don't hate
us.
No. I'm sorry.
No, I do understand that there are people who are going to listen to this and be like, you guys are crazy. But for me personally, I just think the way that Rian Johnson tells stories is what makes the movie so good, is the way that he turns characters who would normally not be cool. And normally in a universe.
Or the main characters.
And he does this in his other movies, too. I mean, that's why I love Knives Out, is he takes the characters whose society, you know, is pitted against them, and they make, he makes them valuable for just
being
a person. Like,
yes.
Rey is just a person, and she is valuable inherently because she is a human, and she seeks to do good.
She's
and
a cool
I think
gal.
That, and that's the same thing that Detective Benoit Blanc says about Marta, is like, she's a good person, and that is why she won against the bad rich people, is that you just have to be good, and that's all the Last Jedi is telling you, is you just have to hold on to hope and choose goodness and choose light,
and no one did it, actually, which is kind of funny. Yeah, well, you said something that I think is a good way to wrap it up, is, like, my final thoughts on Star Wars is, like I said, I mean, only my top four are really ones that I would say, like, are in movies that, like, I like, you know? I mean, not, I obviously like the other ones, but, like, just for me, personally, are ones that, like, these are definitely movies that I enjoy and will watch again, and, like, there's things about them that I can point to that, like, this is what is good about this. And I think, you know, like, it's hard with Star Wars because it's become obviously so, like, hateful and, like, venomous online and just, like, in pop culture circles and discourse. It's at the point now where there's just so many different aspects of Star Wars that it's impossible for anyone, I think, it's impossible for anyone to like everything that has the Star Wars name attached to it. Because
I think that's something we've learned doing this series, or, like, been able to establish more.
Right, right. Like, there's so many different movies and different tones and different directors, different styles, different stories, that it's not like a Lord of the Rings kind of thing, or maybe even like Harry Potter, where there's just so many different things going on where I don't know if it's possible for one person to truly love everything with a Star Wars name. Like, you can obviously, like, you can enjoy Star Wars, and I'm not saying maybe there are people, I don't want to speak for everyone, but in my opinion, it's at the point now where there's just, like, you gotta like what you like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, yeah. You could say that about life as well.
Wow.
What do you want to read? I put this in here, this tweet you sent me a couple days ago that I thought was a really good tweet about Star Wars, and I think would sum up, you know, everything we've been talking about really well. A good way to end off the episode and
yeah,
the series.
I would love to read this. Yeah, so this tweet is from @RahulKohli13, and he said, quote, "Star Wars has and will always be a restaurant. We all love eating there. We don't like every dish on the menu, and that's okay. You're not supposed to. Order what you like, avoid what you don't, and don't worry about what others are having. And don't be a dick to the staff," end quote.
Wow. I think that's really all we need to say, you know? That's it.
And that's how it is with movies, too. That is
wow.
The whole point here.
This is really just a metaphor for movies, you know? I am bad at trivia, and yeah, movies are movies.
Yeah, it's okay to like things, and it's okay to not like things, and, you know, we don't have to be mean or rude or tear down other people for it, and that's just the way it's gonna be, and We have expressed through this series that we like and don't like certain aspects of the Star Wars universe, the Star Wars films. Our guests have come on and said similar things every single episode. There's different levels of like for the Star Wars universe. I would say we middle ground it. We really like aspects of it, and then we also don't. And maybe for me, there's just parts that I don't care as much. And but I respect the Star Wars universe a lot. I think it's very cool. And I hope that the future of Star Wars can really grow into something even more broad and more cool, and give a lot more opportunity to showcase the things that I love about Star Wars, which is hope and goodness and fighting for what's right and rebelling against the powers that be that are trying to control and destroy the little people.
And cool droids and lightsaber battles.
Oh my gosh, cool droids like C-3PO.
He's cool. He's really cool.
I love C-3PO, R2, BB-8. We stan.
Yes, truly. All right, I think that's just, I don't have anything to say. I think we're just going to leave it there. That is the end of our Summer of Star Wars series. I hope you all enjoyed. We will have these lists. We'll make them public probably the day this episode goes live. So we'll have these lists public on our Letterboxd, which is linked below, so you can go and see the ranking in person if you don't believe us. You know, I think we're lying. They are written in stone on the internet, which never changes. We have a few things that we can plug at the end here. If you have thoughts on this episode, the series, the podcast in general, you can just email us at secondhandfilmcritics@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to hear from you. And maybe if you have something to say, we'll read your comments out in the next episode for our audience to hear. You can also find us at all your favorite social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just search Secondhand Film Critics and we will or should come up.
Our next episode will be a final wrap-up to the summer.
Yeah, you know. Well, we had Jaws, that was like the celebration of summer.
It was.
And this was like the campfire at the end of summer.
Uh-huh.
And the next episode is the morning after of summer. You wake up and it's like, let's talk about how the summer was.
Yeah.
Summer's left us in the dust.
Anyway. So that'll be what we watched this summer. Which will be just kind of talking about some different movies, and maybe we'll throw in some TV shows.
Yeah.
That we
not Star Wars, because
not Star Wars.
Have talked about
we
Star
won't
Wars enough.
Be talking about any of the things we've talked about on the podcast.
Right.
But just kind of picking and choosing some things that maybe we watched new this summer that we want to talk about, some things we've been enjoying recently, getting into, vibing with, things that we've added to our new favorites list.
Wow.
High rankings. I don't know. It's
low
just
rankings.
A hodgepodge of summer things. Summer watches.
Summer memories, really, you know. It's our summer our mementos.
Yeah.
Partly. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun, chill. We've done a couple of these, like we did what we watched in October years ago, because
yeah.
Just because like I think there was a lot of Oscar movies, you know, and it's like just throw them all in one.
Yeah, we've watched a lot of things that we didn't get a chance to talk about too. The Green Knight.
Yeah. we'll talk about that in somewhat.
Anyway.
Thanks for tuning in.
Until next time, I'm Arcturus Lightdasher, the pilot from Alzok 3.
And I'm Arwen Dawn Traveler, the clone from Hadabadon.
And we're your secondhand film critics. Long live the rebels! Is that what they say? What is their rebel slogan?
Rebels for life.